Paul Charchian of LeagueSafePost.com, the elite of all the elite fantasy football minds. He's in studio. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. I like that Joe plays my bumper music disc. I think it's nice that he does that on there.
Well, I'm not, you know what? I'm not going to knock your bumper music today to tear it down to try to feel better about myself.
And your bumper music, yeah.
Well, because mine's more mainstream. Mine's more popular. Mm-hmm. Mine appeals to blacks, whites, crosses, you know.
I don't have any exclusionary music. I'm not listening
to anything. Yeah, you do.
I don't listen to music that somebody of a particular ethnicity, race, religion.
Your music is for nothing but those who smoke pot 7 days a week, sit in basements, create websites, make a lot of money, and play video games.
I hope you're not trying to describe me when you say that.
Everything except the smoke pot part.
Yeah, and the basement part.
What do you mean? You sit in a basement, it's all you do is sit there and play Skyrim.
That's not true. I do that sometimes.
How come my son loves you more than me?
Because he's got good taste. I love your son. Derek's the greatest.
Because you host Video Games Weekly.
And he's going to be the co-host when Helgeson, retires. I'm transitioning in. Derek Allen is my co-host.
We have the podcast of his appearance on Video Games Weekly saved on our iPods.
That's awesome.
So you had him on for like 6 minutes.
We did.
We went over it the whole bit for a week about his 1 minute. Because I was so nervous for him. He's, what is he, just turned 12, so he was 10 or 9. You know, I am not a dad that is embarrassed to concede his son likes video games and plays video games.
Yeah, you and everybody else's son.
Well, yeah, but
it's like 100% video game penetration into, you know, kids of his age.
But there are parents who, I can't let anybody know my kids play video games.
Well, see,
because they're going to think they're couch potatoes. They're going to grow up and be pothead losers.
Yeah, we got it. That stigma's old. That's old thinking.
That stigma is, in Eden Prairie, you're telling me that, I mean, if the conversation does not start with, my son is on the Travel A basketball team,
yeah,
and he's
hockey,
on the travel
soccer,
whatever, and hockey.
And
And then the thing that I like is with the moms, you know, because I do all the activities for my kids. So therefore, I'm there at the beginning and the end, and for most of it, they're during, even if it's watching dance practice with my daughter.
Yes.
There are so many moms I come across, and God bless them, and they're great moms, and better with parenting skills and so many levels than I'll ever be. God bless all of you. Love all of you. Don't take any of this personally. So many of them roll up to the things and go, the first thing that they're going to say is what? It's not a word. It's a noise. What is it?
That the moms are going to say?
Yeah.
Ugh.
God, I've just, you know, so-and-so got out of school and had piano lessons, and we had to go to gymnastics, and now here we are at dance.
Yeah, the chauffeuring bit.
And we do it every day. Ma'am, don't do it. Then you don't have to clump your kid 7 freaking days a week, 6 hours a day, so you can sit at Caribou and rip on how much your husband travels.
When we were kids,
when
we were kids, it wasn't this way. Our parents didn't have pressure to make sure that all of our evenings were filled and that we were doing all of these activities.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents didn't care. I mean, it's just that now it's turned into a pissing match between parents about who's doing the most for their kids.
Yep.
And you look like there's pressure to not look like a bad parent because you don't have your kid in 14 activities.
Yeah.
God forbid your kid can just come home on a Thursday night and unwind and do a little homework and, you know, do whatever, including video games.
Yeah.
God forbid.
Yeah. And the doing the homework part and the obviously the succeeding in school and taking it seriously and brushing your teeth 2 times a day and wearing your retainer when you're supposed to wear it and not teasing your sister and going to bed when you're asked to. The respect angle has to be there because the reward is, sure, the parents are going to hate this. Sure, you've done a great job in school. You have basketball training Tuesdays and Thursdays and your hip-hop class also on Thursdays. So Derek doubles up on Thursdays, which is an aggressive day. Yeah, if you want to sit down and play Skyrim for 2 straight hours, go ahead. 2 straight hours. He's going to be a pothead loser when he's 16.
I don't understand the pothead part, but I think there are parents that do think that could make you a bad parent and it could make him a bad kid. I don't buy it. I don't understand it and I don't agree with it. Now, that said,
every morning I call the kid, the first thing he says to me is the exact same thing he says to you. So, Charge, how are you?
That's great.
Okay, this is a 12-year-old kid.
I love that.
Cares about other people, is sensitive, and is loving.
Yes.
You know, which are traits that you don't get in kids frequently enough these days.
Well, I agree. The angle that I think you do need to be cautious about, not just you, just all parents, I mean, you have to have age-appropriate games, and you need to pay attention to what your kids are playing.
I vet them all out through you.
I know you do, and I appreciate that. But just, you know, parents need to be conscious of that. There are games that are legitimately, like R-rated movies, that are legitimately built for 17, 18, 19-plus-year-old kids, yep. And there's a lot of pressure of 11-year-olds to go play those games.
Yeah.
As a parent, you need to not be bringing that into your house, I think, generally.
Mm-hmm.
Just know your kid, know what he's going to be okay with, and know what the game is like. Know how, you know what the themes are.
And I'm not knocking those who have those regimented schedules,
sure.
Are overscheduled, bitch about it, and that's what's good, maybe good for their lives, okay? God bless all of you.
I understand that.
And sure, I'd like to sit with both my kids at basketball 5 days a week and watch them advance on the traveling teams and varsity and Division I scholarships and all that. That would be absolutely great.
Yeah.
God bless all of you who have achieved that. Not everybody, A, wants that, or B, can achieve it. Not every kid wants that schedule.
Yeah.
You know, so therefore, it's with Derek. You've known Derek all of his life, and you know this is not pontificating. He idolizes you.
Oh.
Okay, he idolizes you because we've gone on cruises together,
mm-hmm.
So he's gotten to know you on a more personal level as Uncle Paul. You host Video Games Weekly. I mean, there are so many kids out there that look up to you. You're like surrogate dads to half a Minnesota.
Oh, God.
To half a Minnesota.
Oh, boy.
But you know Derek better than anybody. It took Derek, you know, now that he's in sixth grade,
mm-hmm.
And the dynamic of the lunchroom started to change a little bit in fifth grade.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where
you bet. The cliques are starting to form. The kids who are popular are becoming more obvious.
There you go.
That whole bit's happening.
Start to get a little clicky. And yep. I never was BMOC. I never was big-time popular guy in high school. Shoot, I went to junior college for 5 years.
Well, that doesn't mean you weren't popular in high school.
But no, I wasn't super popular guy sitting with all the jocks or anything, even though I played basketball and played sports and stuff.
I think the quarterback of, you know, back when I went to Eden Prairie, I think the quarterback couldn't even spell his name. I think he had a stencil or something that he filled in.
You were on the cross-country team. You were with the geekiest of all the geeks.
What are you saying?
You were playing fantasy football at Eden Prairie High School.
I was playing fantasy football.
When Pioneer Trail in Dell was an apple orchard.
That's true, actually.
You were the geekiest of all the geeks. So you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can completely relate to my son, who plays in-house basketball and is proud of it. And is on a traveling hip-hop team, and he's proud of it.
That's great.
And on the drive to Plymouth for his hip-hop class, we call Uncle Paul to find out what's going to be on Video Games Weekly. And it's our little routine every week. And like the Vikings being a run-first team in a pass-happy league, and a team that plays a soft cover two in a league where everybody's going 3-4 aggressive, we're going to be proud of what we do and who we are.
Well, you should be. Absolutely. You got to know your kid. You know your kid.
Yes.
I think there are just a lot of parents that want their kid to fulfill their unrealized, their unrealized vision for themselves. You know, mm-hmm. I could have been a starter on the basketball team. That's it. My kid's going, you know, if I'd have started younger.
Yeah.
You know, if I'd have started at 6 on the basketball team, and if I'd have gone to summer practice and, you know, everything else, and then they push that on their kids, and I don't know that it's always right for those kids.
What? This is awesome. I had you yesterday for 2 segments with the pickup joint.
That was fun.
I have you for the whole final hour here, including Ira Kaufman, Buccaneers beat writer for the Tampa Tribune around the corner.
Yeah.
Joe Nelson is going to put us in a debate-type situation. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, what up? We have tickets to the Vikings and the Buccaneers for tomorrow night at 7:20 in the evening. Great seats still remain for the primetime battle between us and them. And by the way, today, as we've mentioned a few times earlier in the show, you can purchase tickets to the game or any remaining Vikings home game with no service fees from Ticketmaster.
Oh.
No service fees from Ticketmaster right now. Visit Vikings.com/tickets and take advantage of the special offer. Don't call for the tickets now. Here's the bit. At about 11:40, little baby Giuseppe Nelson is going to select one rube for me and one rube for Paul Charchian. And then he's going to present 10 questions for us.
Yes.
And whoever prevails out of that equation, their representation gets these tickets. So he has trivia questions. He told me one of the, you're going to bury me. First of all, you're smarter than me. Secondly, all the questions don't involve sports. Like one of them was, from what state does Mitt Romney hail?
You know that.
I'd guess Massachusetts.
You would be correct.
I'd be correct.
Yes, former governor.
Well, see, well,
although Hale, I mean, he's also his father was governor of Michigan, so he grew up in Michigan. So you
no
could,
idea.
You know, so that might have Hale is a little bit vague.
Well, I didn't use that term. So
anyway,
by the way, it's not going to be that hard. I've adapted the rules a little bit where you can have three lifelines where if you need to go to your roof online, you can go to them.
Sweet. Oh,
and maybe they can help you out, okay?
I'm going to pull up Twitter. I can get answers from my
no.
my Twitter followers.
Can't cheater. Can't cheat.
Look
at this.
Why not?
You can't
get a lifeline.
You can't use
you
your
son
super,
of a.
You can't use your super nerd technology to go ahead
nerd.
And win
Twitter's not super nerd technology.
My gosh.
Paul can use his Twitter account to get his
Twitter
followers to help him.
Look here.
I think that's perfect.
Snot-nosed kid. Good God. I'll have somebody from the redzone.org in that chair next week instead of leaksafepost.com. Okay, let's talk Vikings and Bucks with the beat writer when 9 to noon resumes.
You're listening to Paul Allen on The Fan.
Move, I can't see the mirror.
I need to
play MediCenter. 3 years ago, my younger brother got LASIK at Jaffe MediCenter, and for the past 3 years, he's been telling me how it was one of the best things he's ever done in his life. He finally convinced me to do it, and he was right. It's one of the best things I've ever done. I now have 20/15 vision in both eyes and don't have to deal with the hassles of glasses. I can now read road signs, play hockey with perfect vision, and can even see the scoreboard at the ice rink. If you have vision issues, you too should go to Jaffe MediCenter. The entire staff made me feel extremely comfortable, and the procedure was quick and painless. Dr. John Foley performed my LASIK eye surgery in less than 2 minutes an eye. And at Jaffe, you can save over 50% off the cost of custom LASIK compared to the average cost of other leading LASIK providers. If you have any questions, email me at bmaleski@kfan.com, and I'd be happy to talk about my procedure with you. They're off of 394 and Penn Avenue in Minneapolis and online at jaffemedicenter.com. It's life-changing results without spending your life savings at Jaffe MediCenter.
If you have a smartphone, then you have The Fan. Listen to The Fan through your phone with the iHeartRadio app. Learn more at KFAN.com.
Programming of The Fan brought to you in part by Slingbox.
Nine to noon continues. It's 11:22. Paul Charchian from LeakSafePost.com and FantasyVictory.com, the regular Friday co-host of the Football Feast. He's in studio. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings. Chan Hassan this Friday. More on that shortly. We'll be talking about a game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Ira Kaufman, who covers the NFL and the Buccaneers. He's been nice enough to join us now to preview the Thursday game. Writing for the Tampa Tribune. He tweets, if you want to follow him during the season or this week, up to the Vikings and the Bucks, you can do it via iKaufmanTrib. iKaufmanTrib, or follow his work at tbo.com. Ira, a mutual friend of ours, Michael Russo from the Star Tribune, says hello to you.
Oh, I remember Mike Russo. We used to do hockey together, and he was covering the Panthers, and I was doing the Lightning. So we've come full circle, my friend.
Yeah, he's up here now hoping the NHL lockout ends relatively soon. He's very good at what he does. He covers the Minnesota Wild and the NHL. But he's been relegated to the college hockey beat, sir, because of that diseased NHL lockout.
Well, you gotta put him as a helper on the Vikings, because your boys are 5-2. And you know what? When it comes to the surprise teams in the NFL, the Vikings are in that top group, no question.
Sir, we don't need any help. We like to fly under the radar at 5-2. I read your most recent tweet. The Bucks have been vulnerable to the long pass this season, and that's the top defensive priority heading into Thursday's matchup. You make a lot of sense there, sir, and I watched the Saints game. The thing is, we only have one pass completion of like 40 yards or more this year, and we never throw it down the field.
I do notice that, and nobody's confusing Christian Ponder with Drew Brees. I do understand that. But the Bucs have been very vulnerable to the deep ball, and certainly Percy Harvin can go downfield and catch a 60-yarder or turn a slant into a 50-yard game. It's a tough matchup for the Bucs. Short week. The defense is reeling a little bit from that onslaught from the Saints. They thought they should have won that game. Freeman throws for 420 yards. The running game was solid. They put up over 500 yards of offense, yet they come up with a loss, and so they're 2-4. Vikings very tough in that indoor stadium. It's going to be difficult for the Bucs. I got to favor the Vikings in this matchup.
Ira, Paul Charchi, and good to meet you. Let's get up to speed on Josh Freeman, because I think most people view his career a little bit like this. Nice rookie season, had a regression last year like the whole team did. And now, you know, he's thrown a touchdown in every game. He's coming off of back-to-back massive statistical games. Where is he in his development right now, and what kind of quarterback are we going to see tomorrow night?
He didn't play particularly well, guys, in the first 3 weeks. He really didn't, and the offense was struggling. They got a new coordinator. So that's one of the problems with a young quarterback when you keep changing your systems. And so this is like his third coordinator in 4 years. They've got Mike Sullivan from the Giants, who worked with Eli Manning. And it's his first time calling plays. So that's a transition just for Sullivan. Freeman's come on strong since the second half of, I believe, the Redskins game. He's been very strong, played well against Kansas City, 420 yards against the Saints. Now, the Saints' defense is lousy, gentlemen. It's bad. Minnesota's is much superior, I believe. And New Orleans has to win shootouts every week. But having said that, you know, the Bucs have almost 1,000 yards of offense the last two games, 66 points. So things are coming along. Now, Doug Martin's playing better as the rookie running back, so they have a little balance where you can't just focus on Freeman. He's helped immensely, guys, by the addition of Vincent Jackson. Vincent Jackson's a big play receiver. This guy's averaging 21.5 yards a catch, which in this day and age is far superior to the league average. This is not a guy that catches a 7-yarder on 3rd and 5. He gets 22-yard catches. So just his presence has really helped Mike Williams bounce back from a subpar year, just like Freeman had a subpar year. And together, they're quite formidable. So this is going to be a challenge for the Vikings secondary. Of course, the best way to do it is with a pass rush. And one thing I'm going to be looking at, guys, tomorrow night is Jared Allen, who has no peer, in my opinion, as a pass rusher in this league, against Donald Penn, who I believe was plucked off the Vikings practice squad years ago. And is now making a lot of money as the left tackle of the Bucs. He gets himself geeked up for these challenges, and there's no bigger challenge, you know, than Jared Allen. So that's the game within the game tomorrow night.
That's certainly a matchup to watch. I'm hoping you can help me get my arms around this Buccaneer run defense. That was so bad last year, Ira. They were the bottom-ranked team in the league, giving up 138 rushing yards per game last year, dead last in rushing touchdowns allowed at 20. And now they get Gerald McCoy back, and suddenly the run defense in Tampa ranks number 2 overall. Or maybe it's, I think they're number 3 overall,
number 63
yards per game.
It's 3.
Literally less than half of the rushing yardage they were giving up last year.
Got it.
Is it just Gerald McCoy's return? How do you turn around a run defense that quickly and that dramatically?
Well, as you mentioned the stats last year, and it might have even been worse than that. The last 10 weeks, which they did not win a game, I've been covering this game, and you hate to use the word quit, but it was obvious that some of those defensive players quit on Raheem Morris. They didn't want to tackle anybody. They couldn't shed any blockers. So, look, they've got some new players. They've got Lavonne David out of Nebraska, second-round linebacker. Mark Barron has helped the run defense as a safety. He's a hard hitter out of Alabama. And, of course, they switch Rondé Barber from corner to safety, and that's helped. But you're right. You should focus up front. McCoy is healthy and kind of playing the way he should when the Bucs drafted him, made him the third pick in the 2010 draft. Roy Miller, defensive tackle who is kind of nondescript in his career, all of a sudden, you know, he's the run-stuffing nose tackle that they've been looking for. They've got a new system in, a new coordinator in Bill Sheridan. Now Adrian Claiborne's down, and so that hurts at right defensive end. But Mason Foster is playing a lot better in the middle. He was kind of lost as a rookie last year. But the run defense is much better. Now, this is a big challenge.
This
the
is.
The only game they struggled with against the run was Washington.
Yes.
Alfred Morris had a big game. But you know what? I'm willing to give him a pass on that because Robert Griffin, it's such a funky offense that I'm willing to give him a pass. Now, you know, the Vikings are very traditional. Peterson is about as good as there is. and McCoy was talking about him the other day. I said, well, what's it like? Well, what's Peterson look like on tape? And he says, Peterson looks like a guy with disdain for any defender that has the nerve to try to tackle him.
That's a great turn of phrase. All right, Gerald McCoy.
Yeah,
that's
all good. Phrase. And now Pagano says the guy runs with an attitude.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that's also a good phrase. So, you know, Peterson's healthy. He's made a tremendous comeback. You got to give him his props. Nobody knew if he'd come back totally from that injury. And the Vikings are going to try to run the ball first and foremost. But, you know, the Chiefs shut down, Jamal Charles. And he's pretty darn good.
40 yards. Jamal Charles, 40 yards. DeMarco Murray, 38 yards. Yeah. Ahmad Bradshaw, 16 yards. D'Angelo Williams, -1 yards. Yeah. This is they've had a lot of success against quality backs in this league.
And they get a lot of tackles for losses. That's been a big change from last year. They're getting teams in second and 13. Makes a big difference. Now you can dictate the coverage that you want when you do that. So, you know, they've added a few pieces. And the guys that are returning are playing better. So, you know, I think the Vikings will win. I think it'll be competitive. The Bucs have not lost a game this year by more than 7 points, even in their 4 losses. So, you know, Minnesota wants to keep this train rolling, and the Bucs certainly don't want to go to 2-5. I think it'll be competitive, but I kind of lean towards Minnesota.
Ira Kaufman covers the Buccaneers in the NFL for the Tampa Tribune. Follow him at TBO.com. Ira, I think the most conspicuous stat for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I mean, you got Josh Freeman his last 2 games, man. He's thrown, I mean, they've gone for like 700 yards. He has 6 right. touchdowns and 1 pick. Okay, that's against Kansas City and New Orleans. I get it. They only, through 6 games, only have 8 sacks. How do they only have 8 sacks? How do they ever get to the quarterback?
Well, 7 of their 8 sacks came in 2 games. Against the Panthers and Dallas, and they really struggled, you're right, the last 3 games. That's where the Claiborne injury, knee injury, season ender, that really hurts. He's the right end. He was a rookie last year, and he led him in sacks, you know, 7.5. He's relentless, nonstop motor, sort of like Jared Allen, but without Allen's talent. I mean, Allen's got that kind of motor. So they really haven't been able to compensate for the loss of Claiborne the last 3 games.
Yeah.
And that's going to show up again tomorrow night. They're going to have to blitz more. You know what? They tried rushing Drew Brees, guys, with three rushers last week, and it was a disaster.
Yeah.
Disaster. You know, it's just not worth having that eighth defender back there when Brees has too much time. It doesn't work. I expect them to blitz more. I think the Vikings will be prepared for that. Rondé Barber will blitz from safety. Barron will blitz from safety. David will blitz from linebacker. They've got to bulk, bolster that pass rush. Otherwise, it's going to be a long night at Mall America Field.
Last one for me, Ira. I love the Tampa St. Pete area. I granted, every time the Vikings go to Raymond James, we lose. So that pirate ship, man, that thing fires on us so frequently that you feel like you're embattled. But nevertheless, it's a wonderful stadium. It's a wonderful part of the country. How come they black out basically every game? How come they can't sell out?
I'm glad you mentioned that stadium. They avoided a blackout last week, but it was difficult to avoid. We are the blackout capital of the National Football League, and nobody would have thought that 5-10 years ago. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Where they had a big waiting list, a self-proclaimed waiting list. I'll tell you what, guys, if they didn't have a stadium as beautiful as Raymond James,
they'd be leaving.
This team would be being talked about being relocated to Los Angeles in a few years.
Yeah.
That's how bad things are. A lot of people are blaming it on the economy 100%, but you can't tell me things are much better in Detroit, or Arizona. They're not. This team doesn't have any stars, guys, and they're 20 games under 500 since they won the Super Bowl. And they don't have a playoff win in that span. So, you know, marketing this team has been a challenge in the last few years, without question. I don't know what the situation is up in Minneapolis, but I don't think you guys are having a lot of trouble selling out. But this team is. And that might be the last game last week that gets televised locally. And it's, you know what? The blackout rule is not working in Tampa because theoretically, you're trying to drive people to the ballpark, but it's not really working. It's more out of sight, out of mind, and you guys know the weather down here, and people find different things to do. So it's not working for anybody, not having the Bucks on TV during home games. It's been a real problem, and it's going to keep being a problem until this team can turn it around on the field and string some wins together.
Wow.
All right, final question for me, Ira. Keep Tlaib's out, second game of his suspension. Brandon McDonald, I think, is his fill-in. Didn't perform particularly well last week. How does losing your best coverage corner end up affecting this defense?
Well, it really showed up last week because Colston at 6'4" is a huge target. And Tlaib 6'1", he's the biggest corner they had.
Yeah.
Now, guys, I think the guy is very talented, Tlaib, but let me put it like this. He's no Darrell Revis.
No.
And, you know, but there is a drop-off to McDonald. There's no question about it. They added Eric Wright from Detroit. He's played decent. Biggers is back there, but it's not a stellar group at corner. It is not. Tlaib probably will not be back next year. His contract runs out.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll re-sign him. I think he'll hit the free agent market. So vis-a-vis tomorrow night's game, it's a tough matchup. You know, I think it's more speed problems tomorrow night than it is height, because Harvin, boy, he's having one heck of a year with 53 catches. I never looked at him as a guy that was going to catch 100 balls. So he's really surprising me right now with his productivity. It's an average group. The safeties, Byron struggled last week, but who doesn't against Drew Brees? He got caught a few times. Miscommunication has been an issue. But Barber is solid. He's a leader back there. He settled that secondary down, and he's going to be he's going to be reading Ponder's eyes, and Ponder better look him off. Otherwise, he could be in for a long night.
Ira, are you familiar with Tampa native Denard Spann, center fielder for the Minnesota Twins?
I've talked to him a couple of times. I think he's a pretty good player. I think he's a leadoff hitter for the Twins,
yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, if you're
does a nice job, and I enjoyed my talks with him.
If you're interested, he's going to be watching the entire Vikings-Bucks game from my broadcast booth at the 50 right above the press box, the home radio booth. He's going to be in the booth for the entire game. If you're looking for a note or a sidebar, he's flying up for the game. And if you would like to chat with him, just stop by, and I'd like to meet you.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Ira.
Ira Kaufman covers the Buccaneers in the NFL for the Tampa Tribune. When we return, we're going to give away some Vikings tickets and also mix it up with Paul Charchian via some questions from Joe Nelson.
Is this the time to call?
This is the time
to
call.
If you want to participate, is this the moment?
This is the call to action, 800-320-5326, 651-989-5326. Joe Nelson will vet out a couple. I represent one. Charch represents the other. And we're going to try to make that thing work after this.
You're listening to Paul Allen on The Fan.
Of the 9 to noon show. We do want to remind you that tickets still remain for the Vikings and Buccaneers. Go to Vikings.com/tickets, get some good seats. And you can purchase tickets to that game or any remaining Vikings home game with no service fees from Ticketmaster. No service fees from Ticketmaster right now. Vikings.com/tickets. Take advantage of that very special offer where we improve to 6-2 after tomorrow evening. And then we get a little time off and go play the Seattle Sea Chickens in the Cappuccino Capital.
That is a tough game right there.
Honey, they're all tough.
Oh, stop.
They're all tough.
Some are tougher than others. You certainly would agree.
All winnable.
That
every game left on the docket is winnable.
Well, I understand
that. And every game is losable except Thursday night. We will not lose Thursday night. Why are you laughing at me?
You crack me up.
Why?
Of course.
Because of my childlike characteristics. I love you. Just love me. Okay?
Oh, I do.
Look,
I wouldn't be here right now.
I'll have somebody from theredzone.org in that chair next week. I need a new reference.
You need Alex Flanagan and her man hands.
Yes. Take those man hands. Mm-hmm. Joe Nelson's the producer of the 9 to noon show, and he has something concocted, and he'd like to take it away.
Well, here's the deal, guys. We're going to play trivia, and it's a battle between you and Charch, and we have a couple of rubes on hold right now. Mindy from Rosemont and James from Detroit Lakes. Now, One of them will each be represented by you. And if PA wins, his Rube will get the Vikings tickets. If Charge wins, his Rube will get the Vikings tickets. You both get three lifelines in which you can ask your Rube for help.
Okay.
We'll alternate questions, so you each get five. Best of five wins. Now
let me just clarify a rule here. I mean, let's just say I happen to have my Twitter feed up and running, and my Twitter followers just happen to put in the right answer, and I happen to see it, even if I don't ask for that.
You can't do it. Don't touch the computer.
Don't touch the computer.
No. And I flipped a coin during the break.
Okay.
Mindy will be represented by Mr. Paul Allen.
Of course.
Okay.
Funny how that works.
Mm-hmm. Shade 37, Mindy.
James will be represented by Mr. Paul Charchian. All right. Now, we have 10 minutes left in the show, so try not to kill much time.
Do we get to meet the bits?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I want to meet James.
Yeah.
Mindy, it's Paul Allen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, honey. How excited are you going to be after I whoop Paul Charchian's ass and I send you and one of your best female friends to the Vikings and Buccaneers game? And then
I'm going to be excited.
Who are you bringing to the game if you win?
I'm probably going to bring my daughter.
Yes, that's fantastic. Then you guys can come out and meet me on the west side of the plaza at 5 o'clock for the pregame, and we can become friends.
Sounds good.
That's my girl right there, stay at home.
When did this turn into Match.com?
This is great. It's James in Detroit Lakes with Paul Charchi. And James, say hello to your friend Paul.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for teaming up with me.
We're going to do our best here, James. And, you know, Mindy sounds very nice, but she's going to be absolutely crushed with the defeat that's coming to her. And I actually feel bad for the daughter. In fact, we might want to get Child Protection Services going right now for what's going to happen to Mindy and her daughter.
Yeah, she'll get over it. They'll be fine.
There we go. Very dismissive.
Mindy,
like,
we're going to whoop Charch's ass. We're going to beat James from Detroit Lakes, and we're going to put a smile on your daughter's face. You ready?
That's right. I'm ready. Let's go.
Honey, if I need help, you're my lifeline, okay?
All right.
James, you're Paul Charchian's lifeline. The man at the controls for this bit is Joe Nelson. Here we go.
All right, guys. First up, you're the visitor, Charch.
Okay.
In the current USCHO poll, which men's college hockey team is ranked number one?
Oh. Well, it was the Gophers before they split over the weekend. Now I don't know who's number one. I'm still going to go with the Gophers anyway.
That's incorrect. You get one of these. It would be Boston College, the defending national champion.
James.
You could have used a lifeline there, Charge. You have James on the line. He's from Detroit Lakes.
Yeah,
to play
because
there.
He was from Detroit Lakes, I should have. Yeah. I should have assumed that he had college inbreeding.
Yeah.
Mindy, Charge is way off his game. We're already up by one.
Yeah, well, you haven't gone yet.
Honey, we can't lose. It's my turn now. Go ahead.
All right, come on.
Name the last three players to win Major League Baseball's Triple Crown Award.
Miguel Cabrera, Frank Robinson, Carl Yastrzemski.
And that's a fact.
Boom, he hits it. 1-0, Paul Allen.
Mindy, that's what we do. Your daughter loves me. Next question.
I thought you might miss Frank Robinson. This one's for Charge. Which decade did President Barack Obama say, called Mitt Romney and asked for its foreign policy back?
I watched the debate, and I definitely heard the quip about how we're not using bayonets anymore. He didn't say it by decade. He gave a year. He said it's not 1917 anymore.
No.
Exactly.
And so if that's what you're suggesting.
Honey, you have a lifeline.
If that's what you're suggesting, then that's the exact date that he gave was 1917.
Is that your final answer?
Well, no, because I'm trying to clarify the question.
I asked,
do you want
which
a decade?
Yes.
Charge is so freaking fluffy.
Then I'm going to say the decade that includes 1917.
That's your final answer.
Yes.
What happened?
I'm glad that you recognize that Al-Qaeda is a threat. Because a few months ago, when you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia. Not Al-Qaeda. You said Russia. And the 1980s are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back.
The 1980s.
I'm just kicking somebody's ass right now. James, please don't stop listening to my radio show because of this thing that's taking place right here.
He's going to stop listening to Fantasy Football Weekly is what's going to happen. He's going to convert over to 9 to noon.
I thought you were smart, Charge. This is embarrassing.
Oh, God, Mindy loves me.
Question number 4 overall, number 2 for Paul Allen. Who is Mitt Romney's vice presidential running mate?
Love of God, that's not fair.
I have absolutely no idea.
Really?
I'm going to say...
You have to know the beast.
Are you kidding me?
Really?
Michelle Bachmann.
Now you're giving me one.
No, I have absolutely no idea.
That'd be Paul Ryan from Wisconsin.
Oh, Paul Ryan. That's right. Yeah, we had the Ryan versus
You had a lifeline,
Biden.
By the way.
Yes.
Yeah, you each have three lifelines, and you only have three questions left each. So if you get any of these wrong, you're terrible.
Mindy, would you have known that? Mindy.
No.
Yeah, I didn't either. We're kindred spirits here. Yeah, at least we concede it.
All right. Charge, you're down 1-0. Here's your third question. Which famous Minnesota actress recently married a former NSYNC star?
Wow. No. James, help?
Oh, my gosh.
Minnesota actress?
It just happened.
It's not
like,
Jessica
Lange. Like 5 days ago.
Minnesota actress.
Guys, we have 4 minutes left in the program.
James?
I am no help.
Why are you not in front of a computer Googling right now? For the love of God, man.
I've only got 3G. It's not fast enough.
Okay, come on.
We need an answer.
5 seconds. 4. Geedy.
I don't know.
Ada. Edy.
That would be Jessica Biel marrying Justin Timberlake.
Oh, Jessica Biel's from here?
Yeah.
She is?
Yeah, she's a Minnesotan.
She is?
All right.
Oh, yeah. She lived by the Dells.
All right. Question number 6. Paul Allen holds a 1-0 lead with all 3 challenges.
What are you talking about?
It's 1-0. You missed the last question.
Right. I've gotten 0 right.
God. Come on. It's 1 plus 1 is not... 1 plus 0 is not 2. All right, PA. For a 2-0 lead. With all 3 challenges remaining,
Mindy, are you still with me, or are you?
I'm here.
Are you mesmerized by my unbelievable pop culture knowledge?
We have 4 minutes left.
I am.
Who sings this song?
What?
I remember when we broke up the first time. Saying this is it. I've had enough.
Justin Bieber. Oh no! Wait, that's not my guess. Mindy, who sings that song?
Let's hear it again.
Honey, let's hurry.
I'll give you 15 seconds of it. Maybe 20 if I'm generous.
You get 15 or 20, Mindy.
When we broke up the first time, saying this is it, I've had enough.
I'm going to guess Adele.
We go with Adele.
That's wrong.
How are we losing to these guys?
I know. It's embarrassing.
We are never, ever getting back together by Taylor Swift. It's quite popular
Taylor
right now.
Freaking Swift. Are you kidding me?
You have two kids. How do you not know that?
I know. Okay, let's hurry.
Okay, question number 7. This one's for Charch. You're 0 for 3 so far. Charch, which MLB pitcher just a few nights ago won his first playoff game since beating the Twins in 2006?
James?
Hold on.
Oh, screw the Google.
Well, he's never going to get it with that Google.
No, it's probably going to be too hard to do.
Hurry!
So, what was the question again?
Oh, my God.
For the love of Lieber. We have 2 minutes left. Come on. Which MLB pitcher just a couple of nights ago won his first playoff game since beating the Twins in 2006?
It's not Kyle Loesch. He just pitched.
2 nights ago. Giants pitcher.
4.
Who's the Giants pitcher that won?
Lincecum won, but he's 2. Obviously Lincecum. I don't know.
I just want to hear somebody say Fister.
Barry Zito. He beat the Twins with the A's in 2006.
Whoa,
you guys are pathetic. You guys
pathetic.
Are 0 for 4.
Let's
you
hurry.
Can clinch it with
Brutal.
A win.
Okay.
All right. I'm clinching it for you right now, Mindy, and you're going to love me.
PA. Last season, which college football player tied Barry Sanders' NCAA record with 39 touchdowns?
Trent Richardson. Oh, RG3.
Both are wrong. It's Monty Ball.
Who the hell is Monty Ball? And I don't care about those poppers.
Okay, number 9 for Charge.
We can tie.
All right, Charge.
Yes.
Name 4 of the 5 projected Los Angeles Lakers starters for the upcoming season.
Oh, for the love of God.
Let me have this one.
Kobe Bryant?
That's 1.
Not Vlade Divac. No. Dwight Howard?
That's 2.
Look at the guy with the terrible hair.
Steve Nash.
Oh, James said Nash.
Steve Nash.
Oh, no.
One more.
Metal World Peace.
Yes.
No, he doesn't.
Yes.
What about Pau Gasol, you idiots?
He got it. So they tied.
Yes.
This is for the win.
Hurry.
Who led the majors in hits this season?
Joe Mauer.
Trout.
Mindy, who?
Trout. Trout. We're saying Trout. We're stealing.
You can't steal.
No. We're stealing.
Derek Jeter.
Oh, Captain.
I gave you one.
Oh, my God. Now we've ended with a tie. Okay, Radio Rochambeau, quickly. Mindy and James, Paul and I are going to go rock, that's paper, Rochambeau, scissors.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Ready? Bam, bam, paper. And he got scissors.
James wins.
Mindy, you're screwed. I'm sorry. But God dang it. You're James, you won. This sucks. all right. James, have a great day. I hope you're happy. You just broke a girl's heart.
She'll be fine.